Ain't no any storm can uproot you. When you're rooted, I'm going to tell you, you can take wind, rain, it don't matter what come against you, you're just solid. Right? So we're supposed to be rooted and grounded. I mean, firmly attached in love that can't nothing pull us out of our love walk. How many know Satan bring a lot of things to pull you out of your love walk? I mean, he don't want you walking in love. That's why he'll let that hurt somewhere inside you, and he'll keep reminding you of the hurt. Somebody did you wrong. Have you singing that song, "Somebody Done Me Wrong" song? Have you singing it, boy, humming it? But you got to be rooted and grounded in love. And once you forgive, I had a young lady, and she stopped me. She said, "Pastor Greg, can I have a few minutes of your time?" She lived out of town. She said, "I got a real problem. I'm bitter. I've been hurt, and I can't let it go. Somebody did something to me. My husband told me I just need to let it go. Can you help me?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. Let me show you how to forgive." Forgiveness is an act of the will. That's how the Lord led me to minister to her. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a declaration of you deciding to let it go and to ask God to bless that person. I said, every time the devil reminds you about what that person did to you, I say, pray for him. Amen. I say, he'll stop reminding you. I say, hurt him. Hit him. Hit him where it hurt. Hit him hard. I mean, go after him with a vengeance. So I learned that through an experience I had where someone took advantage of me and really didn't deal honestly with me and CeCe and beat us out of some money. And I was going to get him back through the court system. You know, I wasn't going to fight him. I'd probably kill him if I did that. I'd be in jail. I have a real jail ministry. I wasn't that bad. But I was mad at him. Oh, I was mad, and that seed was working. Oh, that seed was working. That seed was working big time. Working! And then the Lord started ministering to me. He said, "I want you to let it go. Drop the lawsuit. Drop it." He said, "I'll make it up to you. The money he took from you, I'll make it up to you." I said, "Okay." I said, "CeCe, I think the Lord wants us to just, let's just let it go." And I said, "We're going to do it." And we agreed. I said, let's pray. Let's release him of this debt he owes. Let's release him from this lawsuit we got on him. And let's just let it go. And we did. And when we prayed, I saw a black cloud come off me.
Praise the Lord.
That root was gone. That seed was gone. And I said, that was a burden. I was carrying it, and I didn't even know it. Because if you had asked me, "You burdened about anything?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm fine." Sometimes you got stuff on you, you don't even know that. But God knows that, and he'll give you an instruction to get rid of it.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Thank God for the angels who keep watching over us all night and all day. Get your Bibles. Stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, we thank you for the privilege of hearing your word today. Take us out of self. Allow the Spirit to share and to show us in Scripture. Let us see ourselves. God, reveal the principles you would that we practice so that we might profit from them and give you the praise. We ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. 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 God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Galatians, chapter 6. Verse 1, recorded are these words. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. I want to talk just a little while from the subject. Check yourself while checking others out. Check yourself while checking others out. This message seems to be very relevant not only in Paul's day but in our day as well. There is a helpful holy hint here for the believer to understand that we can never ever be the kind of help or assistance to another brother or sister who has been overtaken by a fault or a sin if we ourselves act as if we have never sinned. If we act like we have never fallen. If we act like we are perfect. And so one of the things that Paul wants us to understand in this word is if you're going to check out other folk, don't forget to check yourself out. This really isn't about a finger-pointing contest. It's trying to help us to see us the way God sees us. It's trying to help those of us who have been helped to help others who still need help, to know that we understand where they've been because we've been there also. And I think that's so important, my brothers and sisters. Church fellowships would be different all over the world if believers understood these verses. I think folk who were really hurting could be honest with other brothers and sisters and share what is going on in their lives before they hit rock bottom while trying to deal with stuff, something that's too much for them by themselves. But isn't it strange when you think you can trust somebody. And you share with them your problem, your weakness, your issues, only to find out that instead of helping you, they're running around talking about you. It makes you want to close your mouth and not say anything about what your issue is, because instead of having helpers, seem like you got haters. And so the word of God says, brethren. This word brethren means of the same tribe, of the same nationality, of the same fellowship, of the same order, and in this case, of the same faith as in Christians or believers. So it's saying believers or Christians, if a man, now it doesn't mean a literal man, this word man represents mankind or the human race. So again, it would read, Christians or believers, if a person be overtaken, and I can't rush over overtaken because overtaken means overpowered. It means something that is outforced by, something that is stronger than you. And so one of the things that I think we need to understand is Paul is dealing with a situation where someone has befallen a sin or a mishap or a misdeed by misunderstanding how strong the enemy was. You know, sometimes the enemy will make us think we can handle this. You know, it might have started off with a little taste. Now you're a full-out alcoholic. It might have started off with, here, get you a little hit. Now every day it hits you. It might have started off with, I just want a little bit. And the little bit now has gotten you consumed. And so whatever our issues are, most times we think we are strong enough to handle the issues that Satan tempts us with. And that's why the word and the song says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. You see, what you don't understand is if Satan can get you not to stop but to slow down, it means then that you will take a closer look. Right. See, when you're constantly moving and you got your head forward, if you don't catch it in the forward view, you don't let it even go to the peripheral. All right. And if you don't let it go to the peripheral, you sure won't turn around and look back. But when we do that, most times it's the hook that Satan uses to reel us in. But it says, Christians, brethren, believers, if a person be overtaken in a, here it is, fault, a sin or a misdeed. Here's what they want to make sure that you understand. That sins, faults, misdeeds, or what the enemy uses to bring us into that place of captivity. Satan tempts you, and I know you might not believe this, but I'm going to throw this out so that you'll grab it. Satan tempts you with what you want. I know you didn't believe that, but I just meditate on that a little bit. He tempts you with what you want. If you don't want it, can he really tempt you? It doesn't even interest you. It doesn't even phase you. You don't even give it a second thought. But if it's something you want, you've got to guard your heart and guard your mind not to fall prey to that you would have. And most times, listen at this, I've said it before, I'll say it again, that the only reason why many of us have not done what we wanted to do is because we were not in a place where opportunity prevailed. We just never had a chance to say, girl, you sure is looking good. Or to say, you know, what's your number? I want to give you a call. Talk about some church matters. Yeah. You just didn't have an opportunity where you could say something just in case you get embarrassed, wouldn't be nobody around. But if opportunity presented itself, a whole lot of you would take pot shots just to see what kind of response you would get. And if you got a little bit of a response, and it wasn't as bad as you thought it could have been, then you get a little more courage to go a little bit further. Give an inch, take a mile. And so, overtaken by a fault, a misdeed, here's what he says happens. Restore such an one. Restore. Why? Because none of us are perfect. I don't care how long you walk with the Lord. I don't care who you are, what you do for the Lord. None of us are perfect. And so if we aren't perfect yet walking toward daily perfection, we've got to realize that we made it through today. But if the Lord gives us tomorrow, tomorrow could be our mess up. Unless we walk in the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But every now and then, we're not in the Spirit, not even in church. Let me just do a little quick test right there. Has anything or anybody ever made you mad in church? Have you ever thought some thoughts that wasn't church thoughts in church? Have you ever seen anything in church made you say, my God? In church? I think my point is proven. We are not perfect, but restoration, to restore, it comes after repentance and probably sometime rehabilitation, but there must be a restoring of the brothers and sisters, because on this journey, we're going to have some knocks and bruises. We're going to have some ups and downs. We're going to have some good days and bad days, some stormy days, some sunny days. But every now and then we fall. The Bible says a good man falls seven times, but he gets back up. Just because you've fallen don't mean you failed. I think I'll say that again. Just because you've fallen doesn't mean you've failed. And you've got to remember that, because the enemy, the devil himself, will try to make you think that you failed. And if you feel you failed, then it means you give up hope. And if you give up hope, it means you don't even strive anymore. You don't even try anymore. You settle for defeat. And so when a brother or sister has been overpowered by a sin, ye which are spiritual. That means those who are spiritually mature, those who are non-carnal minded. That means those who know and operate in the Word. Restore. Restore. You see, instead of kicking folk out and pushing them to the curb and getting mad and not wanting to see that obviously there is a problem at play and they will never ever be straight or right until that's underneath the skin gets right, it's our job, it's our responsibility to help one another get right. It's our job, if we've got it together, to help somebody else, especially in the church, to get it together. The church is nothing more, in many regards, as it relates to this, a great big hospital. You got a whole lot of sick folk in the hospital. And at least they admit they're sick because they're in the hospital. And they're there to get help in the hospital. And you don't expect to be talked about and ridiculed in the hospital when you're there to get fixed up. And the church ought to be that kind of place for the spiritual soul where the people can say, listen, just as I am, I can go to the church house and get some help. Because there are some people who are in the church who were in positions and situations just like mine. And if they weren't, they were in one, they may have been in one or two or so or different that still had the effect of mine. Hurt, pain, disappointment, disconnection. And so they get reconnected in the church because there are spiritual folk. So one of the reasons why Jesus left the 99 and went looking for the one was not just because that lamb was prey to the wolves, to predators, but Jesus knew and understood the mind of a lamb and understood that the lamb was just as fearful of what the lamb was thinking and going through on the inside as much as he was subject to destruction on the outside. And so when you understand somebody is hurting, you've got to understand, yeah, they may be in church, but they're still hurting. Yeah, they may try and pull a smile to their face, but they're still hurting. Yes, they may be dressed in their Sunday clothes, but they're still hurting. And they need some help. And when you are spiritual, you can see that. And your purpose is to help them feel better, to be better, to do better. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Now look at what it says. How do you restore them? In the spirit of meekness. You don't become arrogant, have no attitude, condescending, looking down on folk like, that's a shame. That's a shame. How did you get into this? You don't talk to folk who are hurting and messed up like that. This ain't the time for you to act like you've been promoted from the jury to the judge. Some of us act like we're sitting on the throne. We are capable of judging folk and we talk down to them because we so happen to be given the lot to help pick them up. We act like this never could have happened to me. How did you let this mess happen to you? Look at you. It says, in the spirit of meekness. But here's the reason why. Considering thyself. You know, when you look at somebody and you're helping them, you know, what I love about the Lord is he usually lets you help somebody who's hurting in areas other than your weakness. See, it would be easy for you to identify with the stuff that they have that you had. But he lets you help folk who have stuff you ain't had, who deal with issues you ain't never had. So here's where the quality of your character comes out, because when you help folk where you couldn't even imagine yourself being in a situation like that, the character is revealed in that moment. When you know that you're better than that, but you don't act like you're better than that. Satan might have fooled you one way, but he didn't fool you this way. You might have been a little stronger in this area, and yet you don't act as if you are all of that, and they are none of that. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Now, when it says considering thyself, here is the point that I want to drive home. Considering thyself means to put yourself in their position. You might not have the same condition, but you've been in the same position, a position of forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, seeking mercy, seeking grace, seeking favor. And I'm talking to anybody in the house today. You've been in that position where you were humbly requesting God, making your supplications known. You've been in that position where you were saying, Lord, have mercy on me. You've been in that position where you fell short and didn't measure up to what the Lord said you ought to be. You've been in that position where you did what you shouldn't have did, and then there were some things you didn't do that you should have done. You've been in that position where the Lord picked you up and you decided to get down on the ground. You've been in that position where you've fallen short. Consider thyself. The consideration is, listen, you weren't perfect. You aren't perfect. And as long as you're down here, you won't be perfect. Doesn't mean you're not striving for perfection. Doesn't mean you're not living for perfection. But it just means you had not attained perfection, which gives you permission and a permit to judge other folk. Considering yourself, how would you feel if you were in the position that that person is in now? How would you want folk to handle you? How would you want folk to talk to you? How would you want folk to deal with you? Considering yourself, put yourself in their position and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. God's trying to tell you this for a reason. If you're not in this present position, just keep on living, because you're going to get there, and you ought to know how to handle yourself while handling others when you get there. Listen at this. Again, he says, lest. Consider yourself, lest ye be also tempted. Lest. And lest literally prepares us for the opportunity to be in the same position, which means that you're not above being in the same place. Lest thou also. Also means, yes, it can happen to you. How many times have you said, I never do such and such a thing? And you did worse. How many times have you put yourself above someone else or something else that someone else failed to and said, it'll never happen to me? And it did, and worse. Lest ye also be, and this last word is important in the text, tempted. Now this word tempted has many definitions with it. Because it means to be tested, it means to be scrutinized, it means to be examined. And here's what is important, for various reasons. See, sometimes you're being tested, and sometimes you're being scrutinized, and sometimes you're being examined, not because you've done anything wrong, but because sometimes through the test and the scrutinization and the examination, God is trying to bring to the surface your character. God's trying to show folk that you are what he says you are. It's an acid test that they use for metals to determine the authenticity of a metal that says that this is true gold and not fool's gold. Because the eye can fool you. How many times has something looked good, But you found out different. That everything that shines, yeah, ain't gold. And so sometimes